A crown of thorns placed on his head. He knew that he would soon be dead. He said, "Did you forget me, Father, did you?" They nailed him to a wooden cross. Soon all the world would feel the loss of Christ the King before his hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He hung his head and prepared to die. Then lifted his face up to the sky, said, "I am coming home now, Father, to you." A reed which held his final sip was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his last and gave his soul to glory. Alleluia. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The soldier who had used his sword to pierce the body of our Lord said, "Truly, this was Jesus Christ, our Savior." He looked with fear upon his sword, then turned to face his Christ and Lord, fell to his knees, crying, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah." Took from his head the thorny crown and wrapped him in a linen gown and laid him down to rest inside the tomb. The holes in his hands, his feet and side, now in our hearts we know he died to save us from ourselves. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 3 days went by, again they came to move the stone to bless the slain with oil and spice anointing. Hallelujah. But as they went to move the stone, they saw that they were not alone. For Jesus Christ has risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Well, good morning. Boy, happy Easter to all of you today. Boy, it's good to see all of you out here this morning. You look so amazing and so wonderful. You know, the angel said to the ladies as they came to the tomb that early morning on Easter, "Don't be afraid. Jesus is not here. He's risen just as he said." Aren't you glad today we serve a risen Savior? Amen. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing on all that we're doing today. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together and celebrate a risen Savior, that we have a Lord and a God and a friend that has done all that we need to make our way eternally secure. Father, we thank you today that you brought us together, and we pray your blessing on every person that's here, every man and woman, every boy and girl, every baby that's here today. May we just experience the joy and the excitement and the love of Jesus Christ in this service today. And Father, we give you all the praise. And Lord Jesus, we lift you up high and mighty. Give you all the glory today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing together? He's alive again. The stone's been rolled away.
Well, he's alive again. Oh, the stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer where he lay. Yes, he's alive again. Oh, hear the angels say, let all the earth rejoice. He's alive. Oh, he's alive again. Oh, the stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer where he lay. He's alive again.
I can hear the angels say, let all the world rejoice. He's alive.
We're going to speed it up. Well, he's alive again. Oh, the stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer where he lay.
He's alive again. I can hear the angels say, let all the earth rejoice. He's alive.
One more time. Oh, he's alive again. Now the stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer where he lay. He's alive again. I can hear the angels say, let all the earth rejoice. He's alive. Oh, let all the earth rejoice. He's alive. Amen. Aren't you thankful we serve a risen Savior this morning? Amen. Amen. We'll remain standing as we sing, He lives, He lives, He lives within my heart.
And I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, that Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart.
You ask me how I know He lives, because He lives within my heart, and all the world around me see His loving care. And I heart goes weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come.
walks with me.
Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs. Jesus Christ, my King, a hope of all who seek Him, the love of all who find Him. So loving, so good and kind. Sing, He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today, and He walks with me, and He talks with me along life's stairway. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know.
Praising the Lord this morning because He's worthy of our praise. Let's sing this chorus, Hallelujah, Praise the Lamb.
Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings His praise again.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, praise the Lamb.
Oh, hallelujah,
yeah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, yeah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings His praise again. Hallelujah, yeah, praise the Lamb.
Hallelujah,
praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings a song again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb.
And I am
eternity.
Sing that. Aren't you thankful that when he went into that grave, he didn't stay in the grave, amen? He came out alive, so we can praise him this morning, amen? We have a special song. I was going to sing just that. Jesus came out alive. Listen as he sings.
They hung their heads in sorrow. Jesus, their Lord, had died. No reason to live tomorrow. 11 bowed down and cried. Then Mary runs round the dusty road, crying, "Peter, come see where he lay. For I've seen the Master outside the tomb. He is risen today. Jesus came out alive, and the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose that day. Oh, the place where they laid him is empty. No power could keep him inside. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive." Thomas doubted her story. In grief, you imagine this thing. Till I've seen the hands that were riven touch his side, I will never believe. Then an awesome presence filled the place. Jesus appeared in the room. Thomas declared it, my Lord and my God, you've risen today from the tomb. Jesus came out alive, and the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose that day. Oh, the place where they laid him is empty. No power could keep him inside. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. Jesus came out alive, and the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose that day. Oh, the place where they laid him is empty. No power could keep him inside. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. He's alive.
Good job, Al. Good job. Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Guess what? Yes, we are. Because guess what today is? Jesus came out alive. And today, here today, we are all experiencing the greatest miracle in history. Jesus is alive and risen. For all of those of you who are here for the very first time, we want to greet you and say thank you for sharing with us today. We have a little promise book that we want to give you. If you could meet us after the service in the back over here on the right, we would hope that you would shake our hand and say hi. We'd like to greet you, give that little book to you. Have a couple announcements. If you're a motorcycle enthusiast, Pastor Rob's having a ride this Tuesday. They're going to meet down here at the marina. What'd you say, kickstands up at 10:30? Rolling out at 10:30, you go to Mrs. Max, and that's a great place to go eat breakfast. If I were you in a motorcycle, I'd be there for the fun. All right, number two. Next Sunday's our Benevolence Sunday. The envelopes are in the back on the table. We wish you'd take one. We're going to be sharing in that starting next Sunday. And then Mother's Day tribute photos. That's self-explanatory. I can't put it any nicer or any more plain, but if you have a picture of your mom and you want to be involved in it, please send that picture to us and we will get you in the archives, so to speak. All right. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you for sharing with us today, and God bless you all.
He is risen. Absolutely. Well, I'm not supposed to say anything, but I'm going to because I love this song. And I believe if Jesus could have written a song, which he's written a lot, we're all here because he rose from the dead. He died on that cross. But I love this song. And Chris is going to sing this morning, but I got to move. But if you listen to the words of this, just imagine Jesus kind of looking over at everybody and saying, go ahead, You, whatever you do to me, whatever you say about me, go ahead, because one of these days you're going to see.
Go ahead, drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead, say it isn't me, the day will come when you will see. 'Cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead, mock my name, my love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free, 'cause I rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead, say I'm dead and gone. We'll see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one. 'Cause I'll come again. There's no power on earth can keep me back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back. Yes, I'll come again. There's no power on earth can keep me back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back. Go ahead.
What did I miss?
Randy yelled, good job.
Amen. Amen. Unless we become like little children, huh? Amen. Jesus loved the little ones. He used to say, let them come to me. I'm glad that they're all here today, all the little ones that are here. Thanks for bringing them along. It just helps us to feel a little younger today, doesn't it? Makes us feel good. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited this morning. What a great morning so far. Just worshiping the Lord and honoring Him. And thank you for your worship and your singing and the specials. And boy, I'll tell you, we just are here because Jesus is worth it all, isn't He? He's worth it all. This morning, I want to share with you a message that the title is, He's Risen. I mean, what else is there on Easter Sunday morning? We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. If you have your Bibles or you have your little app on your phone, you want to follow along that way. It'll also come up here on the screen. But what a privilege it is today to be able to share Easter Sunday together and to celebrate the cornerstone of our faith. The reason for our everlasting hope. We've been singing about it. We've been talking about it. But it's here and it's live and it's real and it's in our lives today. We know today, if we know Jesus, that all things work out for the best and for the well, right? And so Easter Sunday is the ultimate declaration of victory. Of victory. And today we're celebrating a living Savior who offers us new life, invites us into a fellowshipping relationship with Him, and empowers us with hope and the promise of eternal life. He is coming back to take us to be with Him. You know, the pyramids of Egypt are famous because they contain the mummified bodies of ancient kings. Westminster Abbey in London is renowned because it holds the remains of English nobles and notables. Muhammad's tomb is noted for the stone coffin and the bones that are inside of it. The Taj Mahal stands as a memorial to the wife of an Indian Shah. But the Garden Tomb of Jesus is famous not because of what it contains, but what's not there. It's empty this morning. You see, Christians all over the world have gathered together today to worship because of the one profound reason that the grave could not hold Jesus. After 3 days in the tomb, He rose from the dead, victorious over sin and death forever. The Bible tells us that early on Easter morning, there were two women that went to the place where Jesus had been laid there in the garden tomb. And they were heavy in their heart. They had sorrow on their minds. And upon the arrival, they made a discovery that changed everything. Let's take a look at that story this morning. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 6. It says this. It says, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake. Keep that in mind. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and He sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and His clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of Him that they shook and they became like dead men. The angel said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as He said. Now, verse 1 says that the resurrection occurred right after the Sabbath on the first day of the week, which we know is Sunday. We're celebrating that this morning. But within the Jewish culture, we need to understand that this was very significant because it would be marked with the beginning of a new week. And in the minds of Christ's followers, newness of life. And it symbolized, listen to me, it symbolized a reset of a broken creation that had been marred by sin and by evil. Now, I want to talk about this reset this morning and how it affects you and me. So looking at this passage in Matthew chapter 28, I want you to understand two dynamic truths that are related to the Lord's resurrection. And I want you to notice with me that in verse 2, Matthew says that there was a violent earthquake. a violent earthquake. Why did God need to put that in there? And I thought about that this week, and it really opened up some things I'd never really anticipated before. And the first thing that I want you to understand this morning about the resurrection of Jesus is this. The resurrection caused such a seismic shift in the order of things, and control was taken out of one set of hands and placed in another set of hands. That earthquake symbolized the powerful truth that there was a seismic change or shift in the order of things. You see, just before the two Marys arrived at the tomb, there was this earthquake. The Bible says it rocked. It was a great earthquake in the King James Version, a powerful earthquake, a great earthquake. It was felt by many people. They didn't know what was going on, but there at the tomb, it affected the guards. It affected the two Marys as they were on their way to the tomb. And when they get there, they notice that there's this angel that rolled back a heavy stone that had covered the entrance to the tomb. Now, when that all happened, these guards that were there, they were assigned. They were the elite. You see, there were rumors going around that the disciples of Jesus would try to get into the tomb and steal the dead body of Jesus and then purport a lie and say that, look, he's not here, he's raised from the dead. So that's why they rolled this massive couple tons stone in front of the opening, and that's why they appointed the legion guards to be there and to make sure that nobody came and tried to take the body of Jesus. And so here these guards are, and when the angel shows up, the earth begins to shake. There's lightning there, the angel is as bright as lightning flashing, and they are scared to death. These great warriors fainted and probably needed to change their undergarments afterwards too. You see, it was a powerful moment, this earthquake, and this moment was something that is listed in the Scripture because we need to take note of it. And this shaking was the initiation of God's new kingdom coming in power and glory upon the earth. Jesus had been saying it as he walked amongst the disciples, as he taught the crowds. He said, "The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is within you. It's coming. It's coming." And this morning, that morning when this transformation took place, the earth began to quake, the kingdom of God settled into the world. This resurrection of Jesus reminds us that God has all power to shake the foundations of our lives and bring transformation as well to each and every one of us. Just as the earth shook and the angels' actions broke open the tomb, God can overturn despair. He this morning wants to overturn that. He wants to overturn fear. He wants to overturn obstacles in our lives as well. You'll remember back in 1989, many of you, when the Berlin Wall fell. Ronald Reagan was our president. He said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." And not long after, the wall came down that separated East and West Berlin. And so this barrier was a mark of the Cold War, communism versus capitalism and freedom, slavery versus freedom. And this wall came down, and its crumbling brought freedom, it brought unity, it brought hope to millions of Germans who believed that such a change would never happen and that it would always be the way that it was. And in the same way, the resurrection of Jesus Christ breaks down the greatest barriers of sin and death that separate us from God. Just as that Berlin Wall's fall reunited families and brought new life in a divided world together, the resurrection of Jesus restores our relationship with God our Father. Easter is about recognizing that no barrier is too great for God. Now, perhaps there are big rocks or stones that are in your life today, just like what had covered the tomb. And I'm encouraging you this morning to put your trust in God's power this morning, the same power that was there on resurrection morning that caused Jesus to rise from the grave, that caused the earthquake, that caused the guards to faint and to fear, and all of those things. That same power to intervene on your behalf is available today. That same power is expressing that opened the grave is available to you, empowering you to live a life of hope, a life of joy, a life of peace. The resurrection moves us to expect powerful breakthroughs in even the most challenging circumstances. Let me say that again. The resurrection moves us as believers to expect, if God did it then, He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and He has the same power available and desires to release it, and He'll release that power into our circumstances. Maybe this morning you, like these two women that arrived on that first Easter morning, are unaware of that power. It's available because of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And today is a day where we can all put our trust and our faith and our belief that the tomb was empty, that Jesus died for us and was buried and resurrected on that first Easter morning, so that we can receive His grace for our failures and forgiveness for our sins. We can put our faith and our trust in Jesus, and we'll experience a seismic shift in our personal lives as well. Look back at Matthew 28 with me. It says that the women finally arrived and they couldn't believe what they found. They discovered the angel seated on top of the stone, and like the soldiers before them, they were so afraid. That's a common reaction. Bill, do you remember Dad telling us about the time that he and his brother Bob were in bed at night and Uncle Bob saw an angel? Do you remember that story? And Dad never saw it, did he? I was thinking about that. I almost called you to ask you about that. And Dad never even saw it. But Uncle Bob, what did he do? He pulled the covers up over his face, didn't he? Oh, Uncle Bob was scared. He was scared. Well, I don't know what the whole purpose was, because I didn't get the story as to why the angel even showed up for Uncle Bob. He was just there, right? And so sometimes when things like this happen, the supernatural takes place, the good supernatural, it can cause us to be afraid. But the angel quickly reassures the women to move them from fear and doubt to faith and belief. And that's where we want to go today on our journey, from fear and doubt to faith and to belief. And the angel helped them to understand that everything had changed. The universe has had its seismic shift, and transformation of power has been released, and it's a new day. There's been a complete change in the order of it all. Things aren't like they used to be. The powers that were in control are no longer in control, because He's alive again. He's resurrected from the dead. There's a complete change in all matters, spiritual things. And that's the first point, that there was a seismic event that took place. That's what the earthquake represents. And God will bring an earthquake to your problems and to your troubles and to your trials this morning, and set you free and show you that He is in charge of all of it. And this brings us to our second point this morning, and that is that we can live victorious because our enemies have been defeated. You have enemies this morning. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Rob? I don't have any enemies. I'm a good person and everybody likes me. Well, I'm not talking about physical enemies out here on the street, or your next door neighbor that plays their music too loud or always stops by for a cup of sugar at 9 o'clock at night, or whenever that might be. I'm talking about spiritual enemies. And every one of us have spiritual enemies today. We have a Satan, a devil that hates us because we're children of God, because we were made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. And just as he hates Jesus and he hates God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, that devil hates you and I just as much this morning. But we can live victorious over our enemies because they've been defeated. You see, on that first Easter morning, that empty tomb declared Christ's victory over Satan, over all the authority of his works and plans and schemes against humanity, and for those who would put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. There was a preacher one time that said it like this, and I liked it. I put it into this message. Christianity is the only religion in the world with a virgin womb at one end and an empty tomb at the other end. You see, Jesus defeated sin and Satan and death and hell and the grave. And perhaps the most powerful Old Testament prophecy to declare that to us today, to establish that in us today, is revealed in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This prophecy declares the victory of Jesus Christ over all the works of Satan. Genesis tells us that God had created a perfect world for Adam and Eve. It was perfect. God would come down. They would fellowship together. They would spend time together in the cool of the day, and God would just interact with them. And all of a sudden, Satan enters the serpent, and here comes the serpent, and he lies to Eve, and she takes the fruit, and she disobeys, and everything goes wonky, and the world and the way that it was, there was a seismic shift that day toward the things of darkness. And I'm going to tell you this morning that God was angry over that. God was mad about that, what the devil had done and how he had deceived the woman and deceived the man and thus deceiving all of mankind and bringing sin into the world and bringing difficulty and trouble and hardships and bad things into this world, all because of that moment that had happened. And so in God's great displeasure, he proclaims or prophesies this curse on the devil. The devil had taken the form of a serpent, as I said, to bring his deception to humanity through Adam and Eve. And in verse 15 of chapter 3 of Genesis, in the Amplified Version, God said this to the devil. He said, "And I will put enmity," that means open hostility, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed or offspring and her seed, and he shall fatally bruise your head." That's Sunday morning. "And you shall only bruise his heel." That's Friday afternoon. You see, God the Father was revealing Jesus' death on the cross on Friday, that bruised heel, but then his glorious, all-powerful resurrection on Sunday, where the fatal wound would be dealt to the head of Satan, that it would be, he would be crushed and he would be damaged to the point that those who put their faith and their trust in Jesus, who come into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, with that seismic shift that had taken place, now live under different rules, under different authority, under the power and the glory and the protection of God Almighty. You see, this passage is God's promise of our redemption through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Jesus' victory over and the defeat of Satan. I love what it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus is declaring, "I am the living one. Oh, I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and of hell," or Hades. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, Paul the Apostle writes it this way. He says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Can you say amen this morning? We don't have to fear the devil. We don't have to fear the future. We don't have to fear death and hell and the grave this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Paul says here, "Having disarmed the powers and the authority, he," Jesus, "he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." You see, for the Christian, there is no need for fear of death or hell. Christ is in control of both, and the one who has faith in Christ will never, ever find their place in the lake of fire or in hell. Christ's victory becomes our victory when we place our faith in him as Lord and Savior. I read a story not long ago. I thought it would work sometime, so I saved it. It's going to work today just perfect in this message. This little story, I'm calling it Checkmate. I want to tell you this story about an art gallery. I don't know if you've ever been to the Louvre Museum in Paris, France. Some of you may have been there. You may have walked through there. But for a long time, I understand it's no longer there. It was taken off of the gallery, and it was sold at private auction. And it's no longer there, but until 1999, there was a picture that hung on the wall in the Louvre in France. It was painted by a painter, an artist by the name of Mortiz Retsch, a German artist who lived in the 1800s. We can bring that picture up if we have it. And he painted the picture that's kind of to the right side of the break in this slide here. And you can see there's two fellas are playing a game of chess, and Faded in the background is an angel that's watching them. And the painting was called Checkmate. And it depicts two chess players. One is on the left in the green with the feathered hat, represents Satan, who appears arrogantly confident, and the other is a man who looks forlorn. He looks like he's given up. If Satan wins, he wins this man's soul. And that's what this painter was trying to convey, this artist was trying to convey. And so this has been hanging there for years and years and years. And some time ago, there was the tours that go through, and there was a particular tour that went through, and there was a group of people, and in that group of people was the world-class number one chess champion. Just happened to want to go through the Louvre. They were putting a group together with a tour guide, and so he jumped into that, and all these people, they didn't even all know each other, and as the tour guide was taking them through and explaining photographs, and not photographs, but paintings and pictures, and explaining who the artist was and what it meant and what time period and all that, they came to this one, and the group of people standing there looking and studying it, and the tour guide is explaining this, and he's saying, this is representative of the devil and a young man, and the devil has just won the match. And so he begins to take the group and he says, let's move on. And they move on. But that world-class chess champion was mesmerized by the board. And he stood there with his arms folded and his head cocked, and he just looked at the board. And the rest of the group moved on from the next post to the post after that. And here was this chess champion just studying the board. And finally, the tour guide realizes he's lost one. So he says to everybody, stay put. He runs back and says, what are you doing? You got to get up here with the rest of us. And he says, hold on a minute, sir. He says, there's something wrong with this board. There's something wrong with this title of this picture. The tour guide says, what do you mean? He says, I play chess, and I'm good at it. And I've been studying this board, and it is not checkmate. He said, the young man on the right, even though the king has been trapped, and even though all the other players or the little pieces on the board have no significance, and they're ready to checkmate this guy, I'm looking at this board, and it's wrong, because the king has one more move. The king has one more move. And when he makes that move, he's going to put the other king into checkmate. The king had one more move, you see. And so we see from that story that repeatedly in Scripture, it relates to our God, our King, and the Bible, and how God works in our lives. God has assured His people all through historical time, all through the Bible, of the ways of escaping situations that seem hopeless when we feel like we're in checkmate and there's no future, there's no hope. I think of the little boy in John chapter 6 that showed up with the fish, the two fish and the few loaves of bread, and there were thousands of people, and it looked like checkmate, but our King had one more move. And he fed the multitudes that day. I think of Daniel in the lion's den as he's cast in there, and it looks like it's all over. These lions hadn't been fed for days and days and days, and the plan was that they would just voraciously attack and destroy Daniel, but their mouths were shut, and it looked like checkmate to Daniel, but our king had another move, and Daniel remained safe. In John chapter 8, it looked like checkmate for a woman that had been caught in adultery and drug out before the Pharisees and the leaders of the people, and they wanted to pick up the stones, and they were ready to kill her, and they were challenging Jesus, but Jesus told the woman to go and to sin no more. One more move. And on Good Friday, the criminal on the one side of Jesus, next to Jesus on the cross, thought it was the end. But he received God's grace and God's repentance. One more move. And also on Good Friday, it appeared that Satan had won. It appeared that he had taken the victory. He was celebrating. We've killed God. We've killed the Savior. We've killed God's plan. There's no way that mankind can now be redeemed and redemption come. And we've won this thing. And he had orchestrated, he thought, the death of Christ, and it defeated God's plan to redeem all of the lost in the fallen world. But the king had one more move. You see, Sunday's coming. It may be Friday, as the old preacher said, but Sunday is a coming. And Jesus is going to rise again eternally and victorious over all the plans and all the schemes of the enemy of our souls. So how does this apply to you and to me this morning? How do we relate to this morning? Well, so often in life we consider the world to be such a mess, at least our world at times is such a mess. There's war, there's violence in our world, there's deadly pandemics, there's unemployment, there's struggling in marriages and depression and isolation and everything we can think of. And we're not always exempt from some of these things. And we can easily become disillusioned and feel like we've lost. It's over. Checkmate. We look for direction, but we often end up on the wrong path. But we need not fear. The game's not over. Because our Creator God has still one more move left, and our lives and future are in His hands today. Perhaps you're here thinking this morning, preacher, you don't know my life. I've gone too far. I've committed too many sins. You don't know the things that are in the background of my life. If anybody knew that, you wouldn't even want me to be in this service today. I've messed up too big. It's too late for me, preacher. God can't love me or help me. I can never be restored. Life's just too much for me to bear. Listen. None of us here this morning are here by coincidence. You're not here by accident, but you're here by divine appointment. God made a way for you to be in this service to celebrate the resurrection, to hear this message. It's part of God's purpose and plan as the King of Kings to execute one more move for you in your life. You see, Jesus rose from the grave that first Easter morning to declare victory and to offer you and I His free gift of everlasting life. And He lives to save you and to restore you into relationship and fellowship back to the Father. You see, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has one more move. And He's not done in your life yet. That's what Easter's all about. That's the beauty of celebrating. You may have come in today and said, I've never given my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a believer. I know people that are. Maybe some of you live with people that are. You know people that are believers. But you've never, ever surrendered your heart and your life to Christ. I want you to know this morning that today can be your day. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation, and that today means it's the day that you're hearing the message. Jesus Christ has the power to cancel out all of our sin. That's what the earthquake represented, that seismic shift. Jesus has the power to justify you and to give you a new beginning and a brand new start. His resurrection from the dead is both, first of all, proof of, and secondly, a guarantee of His promise of forgiveness of our sin and making a place in heaven for us and giving us everlasting, eternal life. And so this morning, I want to invite you to give your heart to Jesus Christ. I want you to let Him set you free from your burdens of sin and from the past so that you can experience His unconditional love and His acceptance. And so that you can live today with the assurance and confidence that your eternal home will be with Him in heaven one day. We're all walking through life. We're all passing through. This life goes by faster than we want it to. And then there's eternity. And friend, there's only two places in eternity. There's heaven and there's hell. God's plan, God's desire, God's will, God's want is for you to be in heaven with Him. You say, well, what's the sin that'll send me to hell? You know what? It's one sin. It's the sin of unbelief. It's the sin of saying, I don't need a God, I don't need a Savior, I don't believe in, I don't trust in, I don't believe that whole thing about an empty tomb and a raised Jesus. I don't trust and believe any of that. Unbelief will send millions and millions of people to hell. But the Bible says if we put our faith in Christ, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we shall be saved. Simple as that. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to just take a moment this morning. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful Savior. The seismic shift took authority over all that the devil was trying to play out. God had always been in control, but now the kingdom had come, and those that would step into the kingdom no longer can be controlled by the works or the attack of the enemy without God allowing it, and God only allows it to make us better. But those outside of the kingdom, they're still at the mercy of the powers of darkness. It's my prayer and my hope today that none of us would leave this place and go from this sanctuary and still not know with all of our faith, with all of our heart, that we belong to Jesus, we belong to God, that He made a place for us. And so as we're just in a moment of prayer here this morning, I just want to ask you today, if you're in this place, you've never given your life to Christ, but you've listened to the message, you've listened to the songs, you have heard us talk and sing and share about the victory and the power and the glory of God that raised Jesus from the dead. That same power that raised Jesus, the Apostle Paul said, will raise us from the dead if we're believers. And I want you to be a believer today. You just have to put that little trust into Jesus and say, I trust you to be my Savior and my Lord. If that's something that you desire to do this morning with heads bowed, people aren't looking around, this is really between you and Jesus, I'm going to ask you to just to look up at me this morning. Just open your eyes if that's you and look up at me. Just let me see. Just make eye contact with me. Nobody's looking. This is between you and God. Amen, Jesus. Father, I thank you this morning for the power of the cross. And I thank you this morning for the power of the resurrection. Really, there were two earthquakes, one on the day of the cross on Friday and another one on Easter morning. Father, I pray right now that anybody that's here that has never asked Jesus to come into their heart, right now, would you simply, in the quietness of this moment, just in their thoughts, in their heart, in their mind, just pray to you and say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I've messed up. I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of all your glory and your righteousness. I've fallen short. I've messed up so much. And I need you to be my Savior. So I believe that you died on the cross for me and that you rose on the third day. And I put my faith and trust in you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness and receive me. Put my name in the book of life. Come into my heart. I admit and accept and receive you as my Savior today. Right now, if you just pray something, you don't have to pray those exact words, but if you'll just invite Him in to be your Savior, He'll come in and He'll forgive you. Father, I thank you this morning for what today represents. We're so thankful for eternity. We're thankful for heaven. But Father, our goal isn't just to cross the line and get into heaven, because the alternative is a dreary, dark place where there's suffering and torment forever. We want to go to heaven because we want to see this Savior who was raised from the dead on the third day. That's our hope and that's our desire, is to walk through the gate and to look into the face of Jesus and feel your embrace and your hug and to have you welcome us home. So, Father, I pray today that you'd bless your people. Father, I pray today that if there are those that have made that prayer sometime before, but they really feel like they haven't been living like, really like they should. Maybe they feel like they've walked away from you in some ways. Maybe there are things in their lives they need to lay down and confess this morning, that today they would do that right now and just know that their hearts are right with you. My hope is, God, that when we walk out of this place today, that every man and woman and teenager, boy and girl would know that they're right with Jesus. Let that be so. Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you for raising Jesus, our Savior, from the dead. And Jesus, we give you all the glory and all the honor. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's sing our closing song together? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Sing it with us. Can you say praise the Lord for that this morning? Amen. The Lord is risen. Amen. God bless you today. May the Lord keep you and watch over you, make his face to shine upon you, and give his grace to you today and tomorrow and in all the days to come. Happy Easter. God bless you as you go. Take the love of Jesus with you. Amen.